Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Tuesday afternoon. Final hour for us, brought to you by Reliable Heating and Air. Book an appointment for a convenient time at ReliableAir.com. Brandon Adams will join us in 15 minutes. Talk some Georgia football with him, obviously. React a bit more to Saturday's game against Alabama. Look ahead to the remainder of the season as well. Kentucky on Saturday. AMA coming up at 1:40. Any question, any topic, phone lines will be open. Just call us up and ask us. We'll get back into the big story of the day in a minute as well.
Is there a player for you that played for the Ducks? That
yeah.
Okay.
I already had to pretend that I was supportive of his football career.
Okay.
Every single day for a year here.
Okay. All right.
Remember that?
That's all. Yes, I do.
He could be good, I said. Lying.
No, you didn't.
No, I never said that.
No, you didn't. Yeah, I'm not going to let you do that. No, you didn't. No, you didn't.
But no, I mean, I don't know.
Because they're like, I don't have hatred for anything, really. Uh-huh. You know, I mean, mine is more fun than anything. Whatever, whatever. Yours is like sustained hatred.
Yeah. Yes. No, there's parts of my sports fanhood where I allow the anger to take over, the irrational emotion to be sort of the guide.
Right.
When it comes to Husky football and Oregon, that's probably the main part.
Okay. Has it always been a rivalry?
No. It started in 1994 when Kenny Wheaton intercepted Damon Heward's out route and took it all the way back to the house.
Okay.
And Phil Knight said, "Ooh, that was fun. I'm going to throw all my money at this, try to turn it into a program." And since then, it's been that.
Okay.
But no, I mean, up until that day, Washington beat Oregon like 70 out of 90 times.
Okay.
But then Oregon's beat us a lot since then.
Okay.
No, but that's where it started. That's where the rivalry started. It started with a pick six in 1994. They went to the Rose Bowl because it was kind of a down, weird Pac-10.
Right.
And Phil Knight got into it. Like, he was a fan.
Right.
Like, he went to Oregon and was like, "Oh, that's really fun. What would make this better? Oh, money? Great." Right. And then he's been doing it ever since.
Oh,
so,
okay.
I mean, it is what it is. Most programs are propped up by somebody's money, and they're propped up by his.
Oh, okay. So. I'm just curious. Okay. Never knew where that hatred came from. But, like, 94, that's Young Buck.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so, yeah. That's when your sports hate usually develops.
Uh-huh.
Right, at that age.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Like, you kind of learn to dislike strongly.
Okay.
Or sports hate, whatever you want to call it, at that age, and then it sticks with you.
All right.
And then they've just caused repeated frustration year after year after year, pretty much since then, almost.
All right, I got you. Okay. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah, so that's good. Thanks for asking about
that. That makes sense.
That was a fun trip down memory lane.
I'm just curious about that
because Ohio State's still fresh of mind.
Bo was just talking about Tara. Like, I bet Tara would, like, disown. No, she would never disown the Brave, but she would be very upset if Pete Alonso became a Brave.
But not for very long.
Okay.
Like, she thinks that she would.
Right.
But I try to tell her, I'm like, no. Until he hits his first home run, then you'd be in love with him. And all his quirks and all his weirdness would be cool to you.
And I tried to get there with Marcus Mariota, too. But then he kept throwing passes from his back.
Yeah, dog. You know? Who was the guy that they hired, the Mets guy, that they gave all the money to? Not this manager, but the one before. The Mets.
That's a tough description, man.
The manager they just had. Who's that manager now?
Oh, who was their manager?
Yes.
Oh, he used to be Buck Showalter.
Buck Showalter. Okay, so if they replace Buck with Snit with Buck, would we be okay with that?
I would not be okay with that. I do not like Buck Showalter.
I'm proud of him. I look at it as positive.
Dating back to 1993. So, yeah, the early 90s was a real formative time for my sports hate. He said Ken Griffey Jr. was disrespecting the game by wearing a backwards hat at the All-Star Game Home Run Derby, which is a, you know.
But if they win.
Huh?
But if they win.
They wouldn't. Buck Showalter teams always crumble.
And
he's a famous choker.
Snit's a much better manager than Buck Showalter.
I agree with that. Yeah. But I'm just curious.
But they're around the same age.
I need that guy here.
I think, I'm assuming now after next year when Snit decides to retire, if he does, they'll probably go younger.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I got there, and may he rest in peace. But it took me a long time to get there with Dikembe Mutombo because of 94.
What?
Oh!
But that wasn't his fault.
Yes, it was.
I mean,
he was on the team.
Like, so Robert Pack?
Not as much. No, because the famous moment is Dikembe in the key screaming at the basketball on his back.
That is true.
Richard Hamilton hit a fadeaway against the Huskies in 1999.
You don't like Rip?
No, never liked him. I did. And has zero World Series championships to show for it.
Still don't like it.
No, I don't. Once it's in there.
I can see. It's hard to get hate about you.
No, it is.
It's hard to get sports hate about you.
I like it. Here's why I like it, though. Because it's sports hate.
Right.
Right? Like, in real life, if Buck Showalter sat down next to me on an airplane, we'd probably have a conversation and it would be fine.
Right.
Kenny Wheaton cut me in line at a bar in Eugene, Oregon years ago.
Uh-huh.
And it was pretty funny because, like, the Oregon thing started with Kenny Wheaton cutting in front of a pass.
Did he little boy?
Kinda, yeah. And then the guy that was, it was like the celebration of that Oregon Ducks team.
Right.
And I was they were like celebrating it when they played Washington and they boat raced us. Mariota had like 5 touchdowns. It sucked. But then after the game, we were out hanging out, and like I was in line at the bar.
Uh-huh.
Kenny Wheaton stepped in front because he was like Kenny Wheaton Day. You know?
Right.
What am I gonna say?
Right.
And then the Oregon fan I was standing next to was like, "Oh my God, that's Kenny Wheaton. Will you take our picture?"
I was
so defeated.
Ugh.
At that moment,
that's a rough one.
I took their picture.
That's a rough one right there.
Took their picture and handed it back over to him. But it's fun. It's fun to have because unless you actually have real life hate in your heart,
right. That's
not fun. But it's fun to to flirt with it, fake,
right. Like
in sports.
Man, that's rough right there.
You let yourself toy with stuff you've never actually made you hate this rivalry. Yeah, yeah. Cut you in line. At the post game of the thing where they celebrated that play.
Wow.
Yeah, that was a tough one.
that had to be. That had to be.
And that was in the midst of, we had lost to them like 11 straight years
right. Or
something like that. Yeah, yep. No,
I'm sorry. Okay,
it's fine.
We're I got good. It.
What's Kenny up to these days?
I get it.
He's not hosting a great radio show in Atlanta.
Hell no, he ain't. Kenny
probably selling insurance somewhere in Salem, Oregon,
and living off of memory.
Exactly right. Remember what I used to be? Yeah, man. Remember what I am, Kenny?
Damn right.
Let's get to the big story of the day.
14.7.
Brought to you by QC Kinetics, non-surgical treatment for joint pain.
I don't have a lot of information on those guys yet. I got my medical meeting coming up here in a little bit. I probably have more after that. Be way more informative next week when we get back. I have to go check on Storm, check on all those guys. Obviously, on our IR. Obviously, you potentially could open up a couple of those windows coming up here shortly after the 4 weeks are up. And then that's up. And then you open those things up. You still got those weeks that you can have kind of as buffers. So we'll get a feel where they're all at after coming to these medical meetings. I don't have a lot of information on it. Hoping that we can get AJ back, after this bye, another week of rest for him and get a chance to get him out there. That's probably the one I do have a little bit more information on than the other guy. Don't know anything about Mooney other than, we'll have to see him this week. Obviously, he left yesterday with the hamstring.
That's the most important one right there, AJ.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you're going to get your best cornerback, man. It's bye week. I'm pretty sure he's going to be laid back. Probably give the guys Thursday till Monday off. Hopefully you sit your ass around in Atlanta. Don't be going out and doing nothing. But, because of how long a haul you got right now, Andy, after this bye week, you want to get guys back as soon as possible, especially guys that have the impact like AJ has on your team. Now, we're talking about hamstrings. They're tricky injuries. They're very tricky injuries. So if you're not even 100% close to it, let them rest another week. You got a long time until the next game, the next Buffalo game. You kind of might want to get him some practice, get him out there with the team. But, when AJ's healthy, you bring him back.
The thing about Storm Norton, beyond the fact that he'll be eligible to return from the short-term IR, right, is you've been pretty good so far on your offensive line, and Elijah Wilkinson's done a good job filling
in. Yes.
It'd be nice to have some, NFL-level
depth.
So even if he doesn't come back and start, at least he's there. Because the guys you traded for, right, in that last week.
Oh, yeah. We haven't heard nothing from them.
Which is good.
You're right. We have heard nothing.
Good. No offense to those guys.
Yeah.
But that's good news.
That is
true. That's a sign of Elijah Wilkinson doing a nice job stepping in. And, yeah, hopefully you roll with it, man. Like, he's played well enough to hopefully he starts all year and plays at right tackle.
Yeah.
But you know what it is in the NFL. There's a pretty good chance you're going to have to go away from that five at some point during the year.
You don't want that.
So having NFL caliber depth would be good. So he'll be back.
You definitely don't want that. I think that's one of the things where when you were having fun with it yesterday and we were still waiting on Storm to get back because that was such a big thing.
Well, because it was just such a such a funny part of the offseason.
Yeah, but, I mean, the five guys have performed well, man. Well enough for them to be where they are. They still are, in my opinion, they are kick away. Or a get your head around Kadarius Hodge on the fade for being 3-1.
Sure.
I truly believe that.
Or just, like, show up ready to play against Carolina.
Just show
I know it's hard to say something like that about a 30-0 loss.
Yes, it is.
But, like, you know what it is. Carolina's not better than these guys.
Yeah.
I hope because they'll play them again.
Yes.
Beat them 30-0.
Oh, hold on. The offense. Oh, they're off the rest of the week. Okay. So, yeah, Shock just texted. They're off this week.
Oh, good.
Okay. Oh, so everybody's going to get their rest up and everything.
Good.
Our favorite Oregon fan. He could let that one go.
I did was say a bunch of nice stuff about Oregon.
You know, Adrian, he can't let that go.
Oh, yeah, he sent me the Kenny Wheaton picture.
Yeah, he can't let that go. Hey, Sports Talk of the Game is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL games every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL. Today.
I also lost a bet to my co-host, who was an Oregon fan.
Yeah, that's when you had to wear. When you had to wear that.
I had to wear Kenny Wheaton's jersey and reenact the famous Oregon play-by-play call of him taking.
I love those jerseys.
I don't.
Okay, my bad.
Like somebody puked on themselves and went out there. Actually, I like them too. I wish they wore those yellow and greens better than the things they wear.
Big ass hip pads you got.
Yeah.
I know.
All right, Brandon Adams going to join us next. We'll move on from my pain to talking about Georgia playing Alabama after this on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know,
think of the Browns, outside of
Browns. You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
A couple linemen.
This song we'll get there. Is way too happy for how I feel.
Yeah,
today.
No.
Let me
I
just
know.
Say that
I
right
know.
Now.
I know. Now, in general, I think it's representative of your feelings about life and your feeling as a Georgia fan because things have been pretty damn good comparatively over the last 5 years or so. But yeah, man, obviously the loss to Alabama is tough. Brandon Adams joins us here at Dog Nation Daily.
Off the injury list.
Yeah, he's playing banged up.
I can't speak. Georgia can't play. Like, everything is just falling apart in my life right now. Can we just say that?
But you're a guy who loves doing this so much too, because you mentioned to me that you couldn't do the post game on Saturday, and I was like, well, that may be not a bad one to miss.
Nah.
And you're like, no, I don't want to miss any of them. You're right. We get 12 Saturdays.
That's right.
We spend all year looking forward to 12 Saturdays. It's pretty tough, but it's
but if there was one to miss when you're getting screamed at by everybody for all the stuff that Georgia did, you know, sidestepping at least some of that from a quality of life standpoint. Probably
and for
not the
for
end
people
of the
that may be wondering, it's you're just kind of dealing with some raspiness.
I just
the
had some hoarseness.
Like okay.
Went to the doctor a couple of times. Yeah. They say they think I'm going to be fine. I hope they're right. I'm going to trust that they are. And we're going to roll right along here.
Let me ask you this, because coming out of last year's game against Alabama, there was a lot of different reactions to it, but one of them was, wow, that was impressive to stay in the fight, showed a lot, resilience, blah, blah, blah. Still a loss is a loss, but how does this one to you feel different than that one and maybe others?
Well, if you'll remember, we kind of half-kidding, half-serious last week talked about how some of the loss to Alabama throughout the years can be explained away.
Yeah.
We joked about that a little bit. I think now that you're 0-2 against Kalen DeBoer, boy, it becomes a lot harder to do that. 23 SEC championship, back-to-back years against Kalen DeBoer. These were games that, you know, Georgia should not have had a lesser hand to play than what Alabama did. And that's, you know, you finally got them in your stadium. You know, for the first time in the Smart era, you finally had some things going for you that you typically had not had against this team. And boy, just to let Alabama march down the field on you, especially in these third downs, it does sting. It stings in a way that maybe even some of the earlier losses to Alabama didn't, because of the specific circumstances of those games.
What do you think, as far as what surprised you the most? Was it the third downs or was it something else?
Well, I'll say it like this. So I wanted to soak up the atmosphere, because the press box, and listen, I'm happy to have anywhere to sit, but the press box doesn't quite give you the full feel of the game. So I intentionally lingered before going to the press box. I wanted to see the opening sequence, wanted to feel the crowd, awesome atmosphere. But also, while I was standing at field level looking at what was going on, I tell you, Ty Simpson, man, is a much more imposing figure than I realized he was. Much bigger arm, stands a little taller in the pocket, just really looked in control. And it's almost like the Shaq meme of, I wasn't familiar with your game.
Right.
I mean, to a certain extent, for a guy that waited a bunch of years to become the quarterback there, did not have a good game against Florida State, maybe that was weather-related, I was not expecting Ty Simpson to cast such a shadow on Saturday. Big arm, big presence. Alabama often, almost always, has a quarterback that looks like an NFL player, and I thought that Ty Simpson looked like that on Saturday. And, I mean, I thought that was a pretty big deal, how Simpson really looked to me like the typical Alabama quarterback on Saturday.
I mean, it happened in this era of college football, so literally everything that happened on Saturday is representative of this era of college football. But just from like a things being different standpoint, mm-hmm. what were a couple of the things that stood out to you on Saturday as, okay, that's a pretty good example of how some things have changed. Oh, that's a good example of how things are a little bit different than they've been.
Well, Georgia is now not only a great defense by its own very high standard of the past, I'm not even quite so sure it's just a great defense or even a good defense by the current college football standard. They've still got a lot of good players. They may be very good by the end of the year. But this thing where Georgia fans go into Saturdays now against Alabama, and the truth is the second half was far better than the first, we'll acknowledge that. But Bama and Tennessee, you're, as a Georgia fan, just really hoping your team gets stops. And that's the way that most college football fans live on a Saturday by Saturday basis. Georgia hasn't been there. So if the transfer portal and the NIL, because let's face it, Damon Wilson, one of the top sack men in the SEC right now, was at Georgia. He got paid to go to Missouri. Georgia, I guess, was okay with that happening, and they don't have any pass rush now. So if the NIL and the transfer portal stuff are impacting Georgia, it's that this defense is not only not great by the Georgia standard, it may not be good by the college football SEC standard right now.
Yeah, I mentioned this yesterday because I use it a boxing analogy when I think of Kirby in these games. Counterpunchers. Mm-hmm. It just seems like they wait. Okay, let's get to halftime. Adjust. Like you said, they don't score in the second half. I don't want to say it's not on purpose or they're not prepared, because they're prepared, but for some reason it's always, are we just a second half team after adjustments?
So Kirby talked about this, I think it was Saturday night in the post game. He was asked about the slow starts, and he said, I really don't know. And I don't know that's him sidestepping your question, very legitimate. I don't think that's smart trying to sidestep that, and certainly I can't pretend to know more than Kirby does on this. All I'll assume is that Alabama must have had a really good game plan. If they're coming in there just getting everything they wanted, they must have had a really good game plan. And when you say, well, does that mean the Georgia game plan was deficient? Well, in 2 years in a row against Alabama, in first quarters in particular, last year was the running quarterback Milroe, this year it's the passing quarterback Simpson, Alabama has feasted on Georgia. So at the very least against this opponent, because it's two different quarterbacks, two different venues, two different years, Alabama has feasted in the first quarter. I think you've got to give DeBoer credit for that, and you've got to say, it's Kirby Smart's defense, even though Glenn Schumann runs it. Say these Georgia coaches were just not as ready as Alabama was to begin the game. I think you have to say that.
Of the things that held Georgia back from winning on Saturday night, which do you think that they can legitimately improve as the season goes?
Well, I think some of the stuff with like the weird Cash Jones call and the Talon Taylor drop and stuff like that, that may be just the sort of fluky thing that doesn't quite happen again. I know they had a ton of drops in 2024, but that doesn't mean it's going to replicate itself again. So that's the kind of stuff that maybe gets better over time. And they did run the ball far better than they have been, so that's maybe a positive you take going forward. But to answer your question in the inverse, the thing that I don't think is going to go away magically is just the absence of pass rush.
Right.
I, as someone who's a big Georgia fan, my fear is they don't have a pass rush because they don't have pass rushers.
I get you.
And that is, I think, a big concern that doesn't just magically get better because all of a sudden you have a better coaching scheme.
Going around the SEC, we were talking before you got over there, Sam Pittman loses a job at Arkansas. We talked earlier, BA, about basically the people in charge saying he did not have the necessary resources to compete in the SEC. But Petrino's there now. And I would have never in a million years – as soon as that happened, I get the picture on the busted up face with the sugar bowl hat and the neck brace. Is there any way possible that people didn't see this coming?
So I want to say this is the craziest thing that's happened in the SEC, given the fact that he had to resign in disgrace.
Yes.
Arkansas, and now he coaches there again. That's wild. I would say that Hugh Freeze coaching again in the SEC has got to be at least close.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, the three of us come at this from different places. You, the former player, me, the fan, you now in the South, having grown up in the Pacific Northwest. Like, this is why the SEC is so crazy, because crazy stuff like this happens all the time. I'll just say this real quickly, though, about whatever's next for Arkansas. First of all, I don't think Sam Pittman wants to coach again. I think he's happy to retire, and I think he deserves and hope he enjoys it. Also, we talk about sleeping giants a lot. You got Tyson Chicken money, right. Walmart money,
yes.
Jerry Jones money, former owner of the Royals, I think, as a Arkansas booster. Huh. If they ever wanted, I think that's right, who's also kind of tied into the Walmart folks. If they ever wanted to just like really spend, I just think Arkansas has got the money. They seem to want to do it in basketball more so than football for whatever reason. Maybe they see a higher ROI. But I'm not one of these people that thinks that Arkansas could never win. I think they, under the right circumstances, probably could.
Well, they also hired the right guy in basketball to motivate those people.
Good point.
To give them money.
Good point.
You hire the right football coach, he can do the same thing. You said in a conversation we had earlier in the year, I don't know if the season had started, it might have been preseason, I'm not sure. But you said 13 SEC teams could like make playoff, win the national championship. And we kind of smiled and like, that seems like a lot. Well, there's 10 in the top 19 right now, and they've played a bunch of games now, and a lot of them look really, really good. Like, what, it's like a lot of the landscape has shifted, and rising tides lift all boats and all these different things, but like, how do you explain that taking place?
So this is obviously, as you said, the deepest the SEC's been, and some of this is leveraging the money stuff the right way. For instance, I've always been not the biggest Lane Kiffin fan, and I continually get proven wrong by doubting him. Like, the one thing that Kiffin has done well is he's found a way to raise money there, mm-hmm. and they've put that money on the field. Honestly, over the course of spanning parts of two seasons, over the course of the last 11 and 12 games, Ole Miss has been the best team in the SEC, one of the best teams in the country. And so that's a team that log jams themselves in with the Texas, Georgia, Alabama, and these other teams that we think of playoff contenders. I do think in their own way, teams are leveraging the right stuff. And I also think a lot of SEC teams play very different schedules. Missouri, who I've got no beef with, they play nobody. They play nobody. And so some of these teams are probably propped up by the schedule they play. But from a record standpoint, that doesn't mean you can't still leverage that to make the college football playoff.
I heard it described about Ole Miss, about like the SEC, the powerhouses are like the family with all the big brothers.
Yeah.
You know, they're all kind of big and they're athletic and all that. And then they have that one weird brother, but is also really athletic.
Yeah.
How's he doing it? I don't know. They're doing it. That's like what Lane's doing at Ole Miss right now.
So I think that Lane Kiffin's maturing as a coach, and I think that Ole Miss is becoming a serious football program.
No, no,
I really
doubt.
Do.
I agree with
no
that
doubt. Yeah, we've talked a lot about that over the last couple of weeks. Brandon, thank you.
Appreciate it.
Appreciate the time as always.
Here we go. With Atlanta United season winding down, be sure that you join our guy Jason Longshore every Tuesday night for Atlanta Soccer Tonight. Jason has you covered all season long, as he has all season long with Atlanta United news. Also, some talk about international. That's Atlanta Soccer Tonight, brought to you by your local Ford dealers tonight here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Thank you again to Brandon Adams, Dog Nation Daily podcast host. Follow him on Twitter at Dog Nation Daily as well. Every Tuesday we talk to BA. Coming up next, phone lines are open 404-726-0929. Any question, any topic, the AMA is after this on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Glad you asked on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Final hour of the midday show with Andy and Randy, brought to you by Reliable Heating and Air. Book an appointment for a convenient time at ReliableAir.com. The AMA, every day to wrap things up, brought to you by Right From The Heart and RightFromTheHeart.org. A couple phone lines available if you want to jump on, 404-726-0929. We'll start with Rich in Alpharetta. Hey, Rich.
What's going on, fellas? How y'all doing?
Good.
Hold on, Rich. Let me get a pencil real quick. All right, go ahead, Rich. You got it.
I got two questions for you. A lighthearted question.
It's only two.
Okay, because Rich, Rich asked you a question. Like, if you could start a starting five of
he's
of,
got
of
two
Avengers,
questions, but with five
of Avengers.
Points.
Let me get. I gotta get my pencil right. What'd
you? You might need it for the first one.
All right.
So, who's on your Mount Rushmore of like sports? I'm talking about athletes you would consider the greatest, like top four. All right, that's the first one.
Okay.
And the second one is like, remember, like 3 weeks ago, y'all was talking about this, and I wanted to ask. So, in y'all prime, like y'all heyday, what would be a perfect party setting? A pool party, a sorority slash house party, or a club? And I'm talking about full blown madness. Oh, what would y'all pick?
All right, Rich.
Oh, man. I really didn't go to sorority. So that's more you.
That's me.
That's more you.
I was
there.
A house party king.
Yeah, that's more of you. Like, I'm just like, are we talking about like back when Atlanta was Atlanta? Like when One Tweezy and Gentleman Club and all them? Oh, that time in Atlanta was nothing like it. It wasn't about no sections. It wasn't about nothing. It was just about being cool. And Andy, I was cool.
Sounds awesome.
Yes, I was cool.
You had fun at the house parties, though.
Oh, I mean, I had no problem with house parties. But I'm just talking about being out in the street with being cool.
I bet.
Being cool.
My four favorite athletes, like the best athletes ever that I think.
My favorite four athletes, Michael Jordan.
He's mine, too, for basketball.
Yeah, Michael Jordan.
So I'm with you on that one.
I
knew one from every sport.
Baseball's Barry Bonds. And I'm just talking about who I've seen. I'm going about who I've seen.
I know.
I'll
just do Griffey just to even it out.
Yeah. Wayne Gretzky.
I was going to do Tiger. That was my miscellaneous
how about
sport.
That? You know what? Tiger.
Okay.
But I put Tiger on there, definitely golf, and Serena.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was going to do a football player.
Yeah, okay. I was going to do all sports.
Barry Sanders. It was probably the guy that I enjoyed watching the most. That was amazing in his prime. I was the right age.
Right.
You know,
he was awesome.
Yeah. So those are
freaking awesome.
Those are mine.
Yeah, freaking awesome.
Jordan, Tiger, Barry Sanders, and Ken Griffey Jr.
Here we go.
All right. Derek is in Charlotte. Hey, Derek.
Hey, fellas. I'm going to tell you like this. I had already told y'all that I had called up a couple months saying that Bobby Petrino was going to get the job.
You nailed
so
it.
Right
you
did.
You nailed it. Checks in the mail, Derek.
But also, terrible job by the Jets yesterday. And I wanted to tell you, yesterday y'all did say this. Carolina blew out the Falcons by 30, and then they got pummeled the next week. So, like I said, I have nothing else to say.
Oh. Bye, Derek.
Thanks, Derek.
You just taking a victory lap?
I don't know.
Huh. All right. Tinker's in Kennesaw. Hey, Tinker.
What's up, fellas?
Hey, what's up, Tink?
Hey. From kindergarten to senior year, what was your either favorite or least favorite cafeteria food?
Okay.
Oh, man.
Cafeteria food.
I'll tell you this. At Peach County High, Wednesday was Chuck Wagon Day. Boy, I don't know what the chuck wagon was.
I don't know
but
what it is.
But that damn thing, no, it was good. I love that chuck wagon Wednesday. And obviously, everybody liked the square pizza.
Yeah.
Square pizza Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I liked when they would do breakfast for lunch, too. Oh, we'd do waffles.
Right.
That was good.
Not a big waffle guy. So.
And sausage. They never did bacon.
Why
they
not?
Would do, I don't know. I'm not sure. But they would do sausage.
Yeah.
Sausage is probably cheaper.
We're talking about that ash-ass sausage?
Yeah, but you know, you're nine.
That ash-ass sausage with a little burnt, like his ass burnt.
It looks like a little puck.
Yeah.
I like it.
Oh, no. Nah.
I love those.
Dude, that's.
And you could get two waffles and some syrup with a sausage in the middle and have a waffle
that's
sandwich.
That's why I like continental breakfast, man. Baby, I'm like, I want no ash-ass sausage with a back with a burnt ass.
What is a chuck wagon?
I don't know what a chuck wagon is. It could have been chicken. It could have been a poke chop sandwich.
Give it a description.
It looked like a chicken, okay. But it was a chuck wagon. It was between two pieces of bread, and it was a sandwich.
Oh, it's a sandwich.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then we probably had this conversation one of our first years here, that peanut butter and jelly sandwich or whatever that peanut butter sandwich is when you used to get the soup day.
Yeah, they didn't do that.
They did that up there?
Mm-mm.
Oh, okay.
Sounds great. What, yeah. The peanut butter and jelly and soup?
Well, I never ate the soup, but that peanut butter and jelly sandwich they used to give with the soup, was that peanut butter, whatever that was banging.
They didn't do that.
Yeah.
Our lunches were awful. Like, I don't speak about it with the reverence that you do.
Yeah.
You got good memories.
That chuck wagon.
I was like, it was all gross, pretty
chuck
much,
wagon.
Except the breakfast.
Yeah, man, that chuck wagon.
They would do burgers, and it was like, nope.
Oh, the burgers.
We're not doing
that. Oh, high school burgers were awful.
We can't do that.
Awful.
It was always had wheat buns, too. Yeah. Ugh, yeah. It's awful. I know. See? Not good. Jeremy is in Griffin. Hey, Jeremy.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey, two of my favorite people I've never met. How are you?
Thank you.
Good, Jeremy. Back at you.
Awesome. So, awesome. Fantastic. So I've been studying this question for a minute, but I had a chance to call, so I'll make it fast. So let's go back to the draft. Do you remember when Sanders got that prank phone call and then everybody got fined?
Uh-huh. Well, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, Jeff Olbrich, he had to come out of his own pocket, right?
Yep.
Like, he had a certain fine.
Right.
Yep. Okay, there we go.
$100,000.
So he had his own money.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so from a dad, the other two dads, here's my two questions. One, what's the biggest dummy move either one of y'all's offspring have done that you...
Okay.
And two, here's the better one. Coming up, what's the biggest bonehead dummy move y'all did that your parents had to come out of their money wallet for?
Oh, yeah, man.
All right, thank you, Jeremy. Thank you, Jeremy.
Well, all right. I got kicked out of a country. So
it's hard to beat that one.
Yeah, yeah. I got kicked out of a country for being
just
a dumb.
The plane ticket alone.
Yeah,
expensive
yeah,
on that
yeah,
one.
I got kicked out of a country.
I told you I wrecked my mom's car the first day she let me drive it to school.
Yeah.
When I was 16. Yeah. That was a tough one.
My kid, I'll tell you this. They don't really do craziness. You know, like they're pretty good with their cars. I think Isaiah got a speeding ticket. That was about it. But that's about it. They're not that. They don't really do too much.
And my kids are too young to be causing too much financial damage.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, stuff gets broken.
Yeah, stuff gets
but
broken.
Stuff but, gets broken.
Yeah, but no, they haven't done it. They haven't hit the bonehead yet.
Yeah, no, we're not.
Yeah, they have not done nothing that I've done.
My kids aren't old enough, really, for the most part, to know better with a lot of stuff.
Right.
Like Lily's getting there, but still, we're talking kindergarten. So,
right.
Well, I'm sure we'll have them. We'll have them.
Oh, yeah.
Something will happen.
Yeah, something will.
I hope it's not a prank call to a kid on draft night.
I forgot about that, too. He said that.
That'd be bad. Yeah. I'd be pretty mad at Jack about that one.
Oh, yeah. I'm telling you, dude. Somebody getting hemmed up. And I think that's always a worry, especially my boys. Like, they don't want to see me. I think it's a healthy fear that they have.
I know.
But they don't want to see me.
I was thinking about that the other day.
They don't want, like.
Whatever little speck of fear I had is already evaporating.
Like I said, don't ever make me come over there. Because, I flew back from San Diego one time on a Tuesday. Uh-huh. I flew back because Isaiah was acting up over here.
Well, that sounds like a story.
Yeah. No, Isaiah was acting up. He was in school. No, he acted up in grade school. I said, okay. Oh, okay. Because I just had a talk with him last week about what he was doing. I said, okay.
So he thought when you were away,
I said, don't let me pop up on your ass.
Right.
And I guess he thought I was playing.
Well,
I jumped on that damn Delta.
When you don't expect the parent to pop up in school and they do, that's a real shocking
popped up,
moment.
Popped up. Hey, popped up, handled that business, and got my ass right back on the plane. I ain't even packed no bags.
My buddies Cam and Clay, twins. Very fun guys, loud, talked a lot in class. Their mom came and sat all six periods for a whole week, 1 week, just so they wouldn't talk. Imagine how embarrassing that would be.
Yes, I could.
Mom sitting in class, all six periods for the whole week.
I would have been so upset.
What's her name?
Okay. Chuck Wagon sounds like a thick cutty girl with a lot of cake.
It does kind of, yeah. A Chuck Wagon like a good description
but
for
we
a
had,
backside.
Yeah, we have a Chuck Wagon. Chuck Wagon Wednesdays.
Belinda. That was her name. Belinda Bell. She sat there and embarrassed the hell out of them for the whole week.
Dude.
All right. Ty is in Buckhead. Hey, Ty.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Hello, Ty.
All right. Check this out. This is what I got. For a kicker, you think it's more pressure to win the game on a game-winning kick or a game-tying kick to kick into overtime? And have either of you had a chance to win one, any sport, like a chance to win a game?
Mm. Thank you, Ty.
Chance to win? Like,
I don't...
I sent our junior year, I sent our semifinal game into double overtime. No, into overtime.
In football?
In basketball.
In basketball.
Yeah, I sent hit a game tying shot at the buzzer.
We in a couple shootouts in high school, but like in soccer, mm-hmm. but I always kicked first or second. So right. I was never in that pressure moment at the end. So I never have.
Yeah.
More pressure to tie the game and send it to overtime or to win it?
More pressure to tie.
Yeah.
I think it'll be more pressure to tie it.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Like, I'm telling you.
Different
I mean,
feeling.
Like, I'm just telling you, being on a team, being on the sidelines as a player, after you done fought your ass off, like, my first ever comeback win victory, I'll never forget, in Denver, and playing for the Dolphins, and we make this great comeback, and we're battling back and forth, and Jason Elam hits, like, a 60-something yard up there in Denver,
mm-hmm.
and we have, like, 40 seconds, and it was a catch. And then tip ball, and then freaking Lindo came and kicked it like 57 yards. And that's a great feeling. But I've had this situation where it was the other way around. Adam damn Vinatieri and other kickers like that. It's hard. And that is a hard way to lose, bro.
I bet.
That is a hard way to freaking lose by a field goal or a field goal miss. Woo, you'd be wanting to fight him.
What's worse? It's got to be worse for your guy to miss it,
dude,
right?
It is way worse. It is horrible when your kicker misses it. Right. Especially when you done battled your ass off. You're down there and they miss it. You, like, because most time I was on the field goal team, Andy, not one time did I walk over to him and pat him on the head.
No, it's all good, bud.
Yep,
know that.
I damn sure didn't.
You get him next time?
I damn sure didn't. I didn't say that bad publicly
right,
about
you didn't
him.
Cuss him
I
out,
didn't cuss but... him out in there like that, but I'd be damn if I was going to put my arm around him and hug him.
Yeah, no, I think you're right in the middle.
Damn
I
sure
always
did.
Do wonder, like,
damn.
Are those guys really good friends? Like, why? Because I probably would just walked away.
Dude.
Actually, I might.
Dude,
I'm
just telling you.
I'm a pretty bad loser.
I just walked
Although
away.
I would have been the kicker. So
I just walked away.
I would have liked the arm around me. Randy.
Dude.
What if I walked up to you? Hey, bud. Get away from me. Son of a. You got one job. All right. James is in Gainesville. Hey, James.
Hey, guys. Great show as always.
Thank you, James.
Listen, this question is for Randy. Randy, I've been a diehard Georgia fan for a long, long time. And I've noticed since Brock Bowers has left, the offense has kind of gotten away from using their tight ends.
Yep.
They're on the field, but they're on the field as blockers.
Yep.
What happened? What changed in the offense to when, especially when they get down around the goal line, that they cannot use their tight ends in the middle of the field or at the goal line?
Thank you,
James. Damn it, James.
Good question.
Damn it, James. I'm right there with you. One reason, because they're not him. That's the ultimate reason is they're not him.
But they were doing a lot
but they were
more
doing
tight
a
end
lot
stuff.
More tight end stuff.
Pre-Brock.
Yes.
Right? Like
yes.
Because you got to the point where we stopped asking Roddy every Friday.
Yes.
When are they going to throw it to the damn
yes.
You're going to have to start asking him again.
I'm going to have to. I think that when you look at this group of tight ends, they're very talented. I think Oscar's very talented player.
Yeah.
I know that Lawson Luck is a very talented player. But I'm with you on that. I'm so 100% with you on why they don't get the ball.
Yeah, throw it to them. Seems like they had zero throws
against Alabama.
For first downs on third down.
Yes.
Zero third down conversion passes.
Yes.
On Saturday. That's not good.
Oh, yeah.
Alabama must have had six in the first quarter. Final call, Wendy's in Lawrenceville. Hey, Wendy.
Hey, so y'all get home today and your dream cars are sitting in your driveways. What are they?
Oh, man.
1974 Ford Bronco. Sky blue with a dark tan, like, drop top back.
Sky blue?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sweet.
Maybe with, like, a white stripe.
Nice, yeah. Nice. Probably a DB9. Ashton White DB9.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, probably Ashton White DB9.
Fast.
Yeah. So cool.
All right.
So this, cool.
Great question, so by cool. the way, Wendy. Thank you. Always, I see them a lot. Ever right. since I really started being in love with those Broncos, I see. And the new ones are cool,
the
too.
The new ones are awesome.
Like, I really like the yes. new Broncos. They did a really good job. Because a lot of times they bring a car back and they don't do it right. But they've right. done a great job with those Broncos.
Right.
Wade Ford.
There you go.
Boy, do I love hosting the Wade Ford tailgate there show, Randy. Go. A great place. It's right over there on South Cobb, right
yeah.
by my house.
Yes. And we love that with, you know, with what Ford does for the show, the and station, the and the people.
The people. All right. Let's get the takeaways of the day.
As our show heads into the final stretch, it's time for the takeaway of the day.
So many achievements.
On Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
A cool color.
Oh, yeah, it's perfect. I was just never thought sky blue. Every time I think of sky blue car, I think of 48 hours of Nick Nolte.
Yeah,
yeah. I was thinking that. Andy wants an arm around him, and Mike needed some of that purple drink after Saturday.
He did say that. That was very good. Randy's mind is right because of yoga.
Yeah, man.
Also, athletes need to stop all that punk ass core work and put some iron on their backs, but it gets better. Downward dog is the easiest one for Randy. Not if he's hitting grown men.
You need iron to hit grown men, not colorful bands. And don't forget, after that first pitch, 50 Cent did a little ditty.
Did a little damn ditty. Never in my life have I heard that before.
Oh, man. Hey, have a great rest of your Tuesday.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.